Welcome again. We are talking about this subject you'll see on the screen there. Building a great prayer life, building a great prayer life, and looking at this subject, we come to a place that you probably expected. We'll come to this place of praying in His name, praying in the name of Jesus. I put this slide up here that says you cannot build a great prayer life without this. Without what? Without praying in His name. You'll never reach that place where you have a great prayer life until you learn to pray in His name. Now, I know a lot of times we know what that means in a way, and we think we know what it means, but we're going to look at it in a little more detail because it's more powerful, I think, than we believe it is. Asking in the name of Jesus. Next slide, I ask this question, what's in a name? Well, we all have names, I guess. And there are names that mean a lot to us and names that don't mean so much to us. If you look at Old Testament life, even into the New, you'll see that to the people of God, God's name was sacred. I mean, it was seriously sacred. I found this sheet online, and it's about the compound names of God. Did a little research and found out that the Jews, as they wrote their scriptures, scriptures in those days had to be hand copied. They had been handwritten and hand copied. And so if you wanted copies produced, guess what they had to do? Somebody had to sit with a scroll and copy onto a new scroll what's on this scroll, and it was tedious work. They were called scribes or sometimes teachers of the law, people who did that sort of thing. And back in ancient Judaism, it was a very bad thing if you wrote the name of God incorrectly. They thought you were under a curse. And they made a rule that if you miswrite the name of God, don't dare erase it. You don't erase God's name, but be very careful. And so most of the scribes, before they wrote the name Jehovah or the name of God, there are many names of God I'll show you that in a minute, many names of God in the Old Testament. Before they wrote that name, they would pray, of course, and get up. And many of them would go bathe, completely bathe their bodies, put on fresh, clean clothing, linen clothing, and come back and pray again and just slowly write that name in Hebrew. The name of God was sacred. You know the third commandment, don't you? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That doesn't mean just cussing, we would say, although that's bad. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You're not praying and you don't even mean it. You're just saying it as an exclamation. Taking the name of the Lord in vain or not respecting the name. Newer translations have it a little different way. I believe the NIV says, do not misuse. Do not misuse or show irreverence just to the name. Just to the name. Remember Moses at the burning bush. And Moses, God called him at the burning bush to go lead Israel out. And he got to the burning bush and God speaks to him. God speaks to him through that bush and he's listening. And he starts asking questions. God wants him to go back into Egypt and lead the people out. Moses was raised in Egypt. And when he murdered a man, he knew his life was no good. So he left and became a shepherd out in the wilderness and stayed out there about 40 years, I think it was. And one day saw this burning bush. He went over to the bush and God speaking to him. I want you to go back. I want you to go back into Egypt, lead my people out. And Moses is kind of back on his heels and he's sort of confused. And he says, but one question is, but what is your name? Who will I say sent me? He knew and had experienced Egypt that there are lots of gods in Egypt and they all had names. So the first thing they're going to ask me is which one? Which God? Do you have a name for us? So what's your name? And God said, this sacred name in Judaism even today, I think it's pronounced Yod Heh Vav Heh, which is four Hebrew letters that mean Yahweh or Jehovah. They didn't use the vowels like we do. We say Jehovah, which means I am that I am. And the best definition I know is to say God is telling Moses, I'm not like these others. I am the eternal, self-existent God. I never change. I don't have to change because I'm perfect. I am the eternal God. I am the God who made all these things. The Egyptians were worshiping the sun and the moon and the crocodiles and the cats. They've even found mummified cats in some of the tombs. They worshiped everything, hoping something would stick. And God said, I am, to Moses, I am the one that made it all. Jehovah. Now today you don't see the word Jehovah translated in too many translations of the Old Testament. Usually it's the word Lord. But if you look at the Hebrew behind it, it's Yahweh or Jehovah. The Hebrews knew you don't mess with God's name. You even are careful when you write it down. And today I've seen websites from Jewish people that the word God, G-O-D, they don't even spell it out. They put G-D because even the generic word God, they don't want to mess that up. Wow, where's our respect for the name of God? There are compound names. What does that mean? Well, in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, and in places in the New Testament, in the Old Testament rather, you probably heard this one. Jehovah Rapha means God is our healer. That comes from Exodus 15, verse 26. There are lots of others. There are lots of other compound names, which means they'll use the word Jehovah and then one of his qualities. And then the word Jehovah, another one of his qualities. There's one called Jehovah El Elyon, which means the Most High, the owner of everything. Jehovah Adonai, the Lord or the Master. Jehovah El Olam means the Lord, the Everlasting. Jehovah Jireh means Jehovah the Provider. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord, the Healer. Jehovah Nissi means the Lord, our Banner or our Victory. Jehovah Shalom, you know what that means, right? Jehovah, our Peace. Is God our peace? Jehovah Shaphat means the Lord, the Judge. Jehovah Sabaoth means the Lord of Hosts. All the angelic hosts are His. Jehovah Tsidkenu means the Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Re'ah means the Lord, the Shepherd. Jehovah Elyon means the Lord, the one who blesses. It goes on and on. Jehovah Shammah means the Lord ever-present. Why did they do that? Is the name of God important? The name of God is sacred. Yes, there are some things in life, in our modern crazy world, there are still some things in this world that are sacred. You are a sacred person as a believer. You're set aside. You're called a saint. And all Christians, all believers in the Bible are called saints, set aside, sacred for God's use. Your whole body is supposed to be a sacrifice to God, right? The name of God is sacred. The name of God is sacred. So when we put this what's in a name, when Jesus was talking about prayer, what did he say? The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gave them some things to think about. But he also said, pray this. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He says, start with that. Hallowed. Hallowed means, well, what's a hallowed? Hallowed means treat it with sacredness. The name of God is sacred. And the Jews, Jesus' disciples and his apostles were Jews. They grew up in all this. They knew all of this. And when he said, you pray, hallowed be thy name, they probably thought, aha, what a way to start a prayer. Start with the name. If you think about it, the name means everything. The word name, we talk about praying in Jesus' name. I talked about in class Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. Guess what he says about the word name? The name means, when you talk about a name, now there's a name like Keith or Sam or Judy or whatever, but then there's, a name means something, doesn't it? I mean, if you say the name Rolls Royce, a set of pictures in your head, you say the name Volkswagen, you know, or if you say the name Hitler, or if you say the name of somebody who's done something great in life, Muhammad Ali, you think about boxing, don't you? Names take on meaning after the person or the thing that's being named has attained a certain status, and you know what that means. So the name, according to Vine's dictionary, he says this: name implies authority. Does the name of God imply authority? Name implies authority. Implies authority. Character, rank. Why do you call a general and a corporal? Rank. Majesty, power, excellence, all those things are bound up in a name. Then he later says, the name represents the authority of Christ. The name of Christ represents the power or acknowledgement or confession of a name. That talks about how we acknowledge the name of Christ, or we confess the name when we become Christians, right? We confess that He is Lord. And by Christ's name, we are identified with Christ. So a name doesn't just mean a handle you use to call somebody, you know. You give your dog a name so you can call him and he'll come. I know a guy, he named his dog Barker because that's what he does. So that name fits, right, with the dog. Name means something. So this is you're going to see some exciting stuff in this praying in the name of God, praying in the name of Jesus. We're going to look at some scriptures here on this as we, the first one's going to be this scripture, the first scripture is going to be this one. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And you're going to see as we go through this that Jesus told his disciples, including us, that it's okay to come in His name. In John chapter 14, begins at verse 13, right? John 14, verse 13. This is the same section we talked about earlier where He is at the Last Supper. The Last Supper, we call it. It's actually the Passover that was brought into Jesus' ministry to become the supper we celebrate as His death, burial, and resurrection on our behalf. So He's talking to them about all this, and He tells them He's got to go away. Chapter 14, verse 1, He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. They're about to go through some stuff. Worst night of their life. And He says, I don't want you to be worried about it. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me. Or believe in God. Believe also in Me. And He tells them about the many mansions. My Father's house. House means like a, can you imagine a huge compound and a huge spread of the richest man in Texas that has all this land and cattle, and he's got 15 kids, and they all have beautiful houses on this big spread out there, and all their houses are the best, mansions everywhere. That's Jesus, the picture He's painting. That our Father's house, I don't think the Father lives in a mobile home. He doesn't live in a cabin somewhere. Where does He live? In heaven. And in the heavenly realms, He said, there are many places. I'm going there, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I'll come back, and I'll take you with Me. He's trying to encourage them to say, hold on during this storm of Him going through the cross. And then in chapter 14, He's still talking about all that. And He says to them, I'm going away, but you don't know the way where I'm going. Or, but you know the way where I'm going. And Thomas, I think it was, said, Thomas is frustrated, I guess. He said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? If I say to you, I'm going to take a trip tomorrow. Can you tell me how to get there? You say, what? I'm going to take a trip tomorrow, and can you tell me how to get there? I don't know where you're going. How do I know how you get there? Thomas said that. What did Jesus say? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father in His mansions without me. You got to come through me. So he's telling them all of this, and they're confused. And so Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, verse 8 of John 14. Show us the Father, that'll be enough. Oh, Jesus had just said, I am the way. And then he says, if you really knew me, you'd know my Father. That's back up in verse 7. If you really knew me, you'd know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip's excited. Huh? He just said, you already know the Father and you see him. And Philip says, show us, show us. And what does Jesus say? Don't you know me, Philip? Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus said that. So it is okay if we say that? If you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If Christ lives in you, so does the Father. He'll say that later. Don't you believe? I'm in me and the Father's in me. The words I say to you are not just my own. It's the Father working in me. Believe me, verse 11, when I say that I am in the Father, the Father's in me, believe me. The Father's in me, and I'm in him. We have such a close relationship. We're one, he said. The two have become one. And they're not two, but the Bible says that about married couples, right? Two shall become one flesh. It's possible, and it's supernatural that Jesus and the Father are one. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. Well, that's a statement, isn't it? Anybody who has faith in Jesus can do what Jesus did. He said, you'll do even greater. Even greater. Well, chew on that one a while. How much does God love his church? He says, you got the power. Go out and change the world. In my name. You're not doing it on your authority. You're doing it in his authority. Go out and change the world. You'll be doing what I've been doing. I say to you, this is verse 10, don't you believe I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it's the Father living in me who's doing his work. Believe me when I say I'm in the Father and Father's in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He'll do even greater things than these because, don't forget that part, because I'm going to the Father. That's what's got them puzzled. Keep saying, going away. We don't want you to go away. We love you. We don't want you to go away. We need you. What are we going to do? Later he said, I won't leave you as orphans. I'll send you the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to the Father, and I will do. Here's the verse we've been working to get toward. Two, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Okay, if you're going to ask in his name, how do you do that? If I'm driving down the road, I pass you up, roll my window down, I say, hey, I'm going to the store in my car. And you would say, yeah. And I drive down the road, and I see another neighbor, I wave at them, lower my window, I say, I'm going to the store. I'm going in my car. Yeah, I see that. I get to the store, I buy something, I check out. I say to the checkout lady, you know, I came here in my car. I'm here in my car. How did I get to the store and back in my car? But do I have to say it? I just do it, right? I don't have to say it, I do it. Now, I close out most of the prayers I pray, in public anyway, within Jesus' name. Is that okay to do that? Yeah. But does that mean I can say that and not even be praying in his name? How do I know I'm really praying in his name? It's in your heart, right? It's how I do it. How do I pray? Hebrews, and I can see it on the screen here, but Hebrews talks about coming before the throne with boldness. For instance, how do I pray? If I'm praying and I'm just praying in my name, what does it sound like? If I'm just praying in my name, what I can muster, what I can come up with, what do I sound like? Oh, Lord, you got to help me because I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do about this situation. I don't see any answers to this, and I just got to have some help. I just need you, Lord, to help me with this. Father, you just got to help me with this, and I know I haven't been the right kind of person I should have been, but I'll try harder. I'll try to do more. I'll be in church every time. I'll be in church. I promise I'll be in church every time. If you just get me this that I need to have happen right now, and I don't know where else I'm going to turn. If you turn me down, is that praying in Jesus' name or is that in praying in my name? See, I don't have any pull with God. I don't have any, look at your bulletin today, I don't have any leverage with God. Was it Archimedes that said you could, with a big enough lever, you can move the whole world? Leverage. What's my leverage? What's your leverage with God? I'm such a good person. Well, I do go to church once in a while. You ought to help me do this. I paid off my bills last week. I didn't cheat anybody. You're praying in your name. That's Old Testament type praying. Now, they did pray somewhat in Jehovah's name, but read Old Testament. A lot of Old Testament prayers are just mostly begging. Please, you got to help me. I don't know where else I'm going to turn. Please, you got to help me. What's praying in my name? Praying in my name, I have nothing to impress God with. I like what one guy said. He said, if you could come up with the most spectacular thought that has ever been thought, that would stun even Einstein and those great scientists, and you found the answer to everything, and you've thought this magnificent thought, and you show it to God, is he going to be impressed? He said, one guy said, it's like the little child comes in 2-3 years old, they've been scribbling on they got a coloring book picture, and they've been scribbling all over it, and they say to Grandpa, look at what I'm colored. He said, oh, baby, that's good. That's really good. God looks at your best day, and it's a mess. And he says, that's good, baby. Just keep trying, you know, and you'll get it. If I'm coming in my name, I don't have anything. If I'm coming in his name, oh, my goodness, I'm coming in his name. I am standing before God boldly in the throne room just like I am Jesus. If I'm standing before him just like I am Jesus, do you think he's going to hear me? Do you think that big smile is going to come on his face? Say, come here, sit at my right hand. While I make your enemies a footstool for your feet, you'll rule the nation. Come sit at my right hand if you're praying in his name. It doesn't matter whether you say it at the end of your prayer or not. It's an attitude. It's a heart thing. It's in Hebrews where he says, come boldly before the throne of grace. And Jesus promised this. You're going to see he promised it to us 4 times. In the same lesson, he said 4 times. Look at the next one. The next slide has a number 2 on it. It's John 15, verse 16. You didn't assist to these disciples. He's still dealing with them. Headed to the cross in the next few hours. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Is that true of us? Most of us. Most of us, he had to get our attention. We were not going to come along easily. He had to kind of drag us into the kingdom. And we keep looking back like Lot's wife. I don't know, I'm missing some stuff. No, I chose you. You didn't know enough to choose me. You are smart enough to choose me. I had to choose you. I chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, second time, right? Whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. When? In the process of bearing fruit. This is not disconnected from your discipleship. As a disciple, a follower of Jesus, I mean a real follower of Jesus, you have you have leverage with God. What's my leverage? Jesus told me, Father, I could come in his name. Can I come in? Sure, you can come in his name. Come on in. I promised you a lot, didn't I? Yes, sir, you did. You promised me that so I can come in his name. And so I'm trying to bear fruit down here, Father, but I need some help. Well, come on in. I'll tell you. I'll show you the help. I'll give you the help you need. Do you believe God will give you all the help you need if you're putting God first? If you're seeking first the kingdom of God, is he going to add all this to you? Going to add whatever you need to you? Paul talked about that a lot on his preaching tours and how he was mistreated. But he talked about struck down but not destroyed. And he talked about all these things that he had undergone, but God had always given him the strength and always pulled him out of these things and finished his course. He told Timothy that in one of the letters he wrote. I have finished my course. I have run the race. Now there's laid up for me a crown. Not just a gold crown, a crown of righteousness. I'm wearing the righteousness of Christ in the heavenly realms, and we will be seated above angels. We will. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, we'll judge angels. We are not going to be angels. You're not going to wear wings like an angel. Get that through your head. We're not angels. We're not going to be angels. What are we going to be? Like Christ. So we're going to heaven in His name. We're praying now on this earth in His name. Watch out, devil. Was the devil, all those demons, were they afraid of Jesus? Oh, they scattered like chickens in a hailstorm, didn't they? Why? Jesus, Son of God, ordained by God to come, the last Adam He's called. He was given authority, He said, over all the human beings, so that I can give them eternal life. Everywhere He went, the Spirit of God. Everywhere He went, the power of God, right? If we're bearing fruit, we get to come in the name. Did He say you have to be perfect? No. You just have to follow. Amazing. Watch all the 12 apostles as they followed Jesus. And some of them, Judas was the worst, of course, at the failure, but some of them just, you don't read about them anymore. They just evidently were ordinary, kind of had ordinary, we would call it Christian lives, but some of them were standouts, weren't they? And Paul has written about a lot in Scripture. He wrote a lot of Scripture. You don't have to be knocking it out of the ballpark for Him to let you come in Jesus' name. You come in His name anyway. If you're born again, and if you accept Christ as Lord, and you live the life He's calling you to live, not perfectly. He's not saying He's the perfect one. We're just tagging along. He's the perfect one. We get what we get from God the Father because of Jesus, not because of us. I'm not praying in my name. I'm praying in Jesus' name, right? It's how you do it. Number three, Scripture number three, John 16, 23, 24. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete. That's John 16. He's already gotten through the part of the vine and branches. Now He's in this part of John 16 and verse 23. As He tells them He's going to send them the Holy Spirit, He tells them they're going to mourn, but then after that, verse 23, in that day you'll no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. You don't even have to ask me, Jesus said. I'll be at the throne and we'll hear your prayer. The Father will hear your prayer. Until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask. Ask. Didn't He say in another place, ask, seek, knock? You don't have because you don't ask. Why are you not growing spiritually any more than you would like to? You're not asking. Why are you not happy with the way life is? You're not asking. Why is Jesus not real to you? You're not asking. You're not seeking. You're not knocking. He who has ears to hear, remember that? Did you know you got more than one set of ears? You got these on the side of your head. You're hearing my voice. You're hearing noises bouncing off your eardrum. But there's another set of ears inside you in your heart. And if you got that, some of you may have that shut right now. If you got that shut right now, you can't really hear what I'm saying. So how do you open those ears? You ask. Say, Lord, I want a hearing heart. I want a tender heart toward You. I want to get it. I kind of pray that for you all the time. Lord, help us get it. What does that mean, get it? I mean, I know what I mean by that. You may not know what I mean by that, but get it as far as the spiritual life goes. We just grow. We start realizing and growing and understanding more. If you don't understand more about God's Word than you did a month ago, you're not growing. If you don't love church now more than you did 6 months ago, then you're not growing. It grows on you. It's growth. Can we can we go to the Father in Jesus' name and say, Father, help us. We're asking, help us grow spiritually. Most churches believe church growth means greater numbers. Greater numbers are nice, wonderful. More people that come to Christ, the better it is. But there's something better than that. Not better, but there's something that has to happen before that. Before we reach great numbers of people, we have to know who we are in Christ and be praying in His name. We have to have this spiritual growth in us that starts blossoming and blooming, and so it becomes more than church. It becomes family, and it becomes, my family helps me. My family helps me grow spiritually. My family helps me understand the Bible. My family encourages me when I'm down. My spiritual family, our forever family. I think White's Ferry Road co-opted that term years ago. They call it the forever family. Will we be family forever? We will be. Forever. So praying in Jesus' name means using His authority, His record, His power, His grace, everything He gave, everything He went to the cross for, everything He was resurrected for. Help us get it and understand it. There's another verse here, 4 on here. He said it again, John 16, verse 26. Verse 25, I've been speaking figuratively. A time is coming when I will no longer use that kind of language, but will tell you plainly. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. So we don't even have to ask Jesus anything, but He hears us. He's at the right hand of the Father. What that must look like. Heaven, the transcendent world beyond all that we know, the world where there is no pain, no sorrow, no suffering, nothing temporary. It's full-blown presence of God. Can you imagine that? Full-blown presence of God forever. We won't be in these bodies right away, but when the resurrection happens, your body is transformed to be like Jesus' glorious body, and then that's full-blown presence of God forever and ever, never-ending. I suspect we'll have memories of the earth, and we may talk about, you remember that day in church? Yeah, I remember that. But all that pain and sorrow and suffering and difficulty is going to be washed away. And we'll stand before God boldly forever. Oh, I mean, do you want to sign up for that? I do. I'm ready. I'm ready for some of that, aren't you? Do you believe Jesus can get you there? He's the way, the truth, and the life. So He said, what, 4 times in John's gospel, I want you praying in my name. I died for you. I paid for this. I paid for this with my own blood, and I'm raised back from the dead to show that I am God's remedy for all sin. And so use my name. Use my name. I had a guy tell me one time, I was trying to buy something, tires or something, and we were talking, and he said, go to this place over here. I bought tires over there. Good friend of mine over there, he sells these tires. You go over there, tell him I sent you. And then he said, probably charge you double. No, that's not what Jesus means. He says, go in my name. And man, the doors of heaven will swing wide open and the presence of God will come pouring out of that place. And you can have a little bit of heaven on earth in your prayer time because of His name. Because of His name. Philippians chapter 2, it's on the screen there, I think. Chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore God exalted Him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. He said name 3 times, didn't He? Gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. I don't care if you're a demon, a human being, an angel, apostles, no matter who you are. What does he say about that? Oh, I tell you, God, he talks about, read that chapter sometime, Philippians chapter 2. He said Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be hung on to. He let go of it. He emptied himself, and he came down here, and he died the death of a man, and he died the death of for sin, all of our sins. And in that death, he paid the price for us to have all of this. And then he says he's gotten a name. He came to this earth as the second Adam. Imagine a long bookshelf, and you got a book on one end that starts the thing, and a book on the other, like encyclopedias. Remember those? You had A, and then it went all the way to Z. And so the beginning and then the end. And Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. Adam started this thing. Jesus said, I wound it up. I came and changed it all. He came and undid what Adam did to us, what Adam and Eve did to us. And he undid it. Now he's got what? A name that's above every name. And we can use that name. We can go in that name. Praying in your name doesn't get much, does it? If I'm praying in my name, I'm just kind of complaining to God about my problems. Experiment with that. Say, I'm going to learn to pray in Jesus' name. I'm going to start by reading these scriptures and reading those places in Hebrew, Hebrew is the letter, that talk about boldness and talk about going before God with boldness, and practice a different kind of prayer life. If you know you're welcome, and you know God's listening, and you know He loves you, and you know He cares about all your problems, that just frees you up to say, Father, I just need to talk to you. We're not disrespectful. But Paul said in Romans that we get the Holy Spirit and we cry, Abba, Father. Abba in Aramaic is daddy. Jesus, they all knew what that meant. Most of them, I'm sure, had called their Jewish daddies Abba. They call them that today. You go over to Israel, travel. You'll hear little children say, Abba, Abba, wanting their daddy to come. Can we call him our Father? With great respect and great appreciation for all that he did. Praying that you'll never have a great prayer life. Aren't we talking about building a great prayer life? You never have one unless you grab this principle. I don't expect it just to sink in maybe in one sermon, but you can start practicing it and you can start reading on your own and looking up the passages, and you're doing that anyway, aren't you? I mean, you've got to have a Bible life or you're not ever going to grow. Do you want to get it? I want us to get it. I want us to be wowed by God's presence. I want us to be amazed at what He's doing in our lives and say, this is real. This stuff in the Bible is real. I see it right here. It's real. We need to experience that. We are experiencing that some, aren't we? It's amazing. How much longer do you plan to live? Bible says the max limit's 120. You can go to 120 if you want to. A lot of people tell me, I don't want to go that far. I just want to get out of here. You're not going to get out of here alive, are you, except you're alive in Christ. So, how long do you plan to live? Well, I don't know. This is the day the Lord has made. I hope I get to finish this one. So, if I really don't know, maybe I should say, I'm going to live for Christ every hour, every minute, every second of every day, squeeze all I can out of it, because one day soon we'll all be out of here. 100 years from now, if the Lord tarries, 100 years from now, all new people. If this church is here, it'll be all new people sitting here, won't it? 100 years from now. Wow. Judy had an aunt that lived 104. We're talking to Judy's mom in a nursing home. Judy's mom was 94. And Judy said, maybe you'll make it to Aunt Naomi was the aunt. live to be 100. Maybe you can make it to what Aunt Naomi did. Judy's mom said, I don't want to. Especially when you have that hope that says, I know where I'm going to be. In the meantime, you have an assignment. Live it to the fullest. Praying in His name. We're going to pray in His name right now. We got a notebook full of names. Speaking of names, of people that are not yet Christians, or they are and they fell away, we're praying for them. Some of you turned in, many of you did, turned in names. If you want to turn some more in, bring them to me. And they go in this notebook. We've got about 30 pages already. And we're literally praying for these people to come to Christ or to come back if they've fallen away. Father, You know these names better than we do. We thank You that we can ask You in Jesus. He died for these individuals. He paid the ultimate price for our sin. And so we thank You, Father, that You're already working in the lives of these individuals in the book. Our lives too, but especially in this notebook, the individuals in here, Father, You're bringing people across their path to help them. You're bringing them maybe to us. You're bringing them into situations that they'll start thinking about greater things, that their minds will be turned toward heaven, that they'll set their heart on things above and their minds on things above. And we thank You, Father. We deliver these names to You and ask You in Jesus' name, by His power, by His grace, that You will touch these people in great and powerful ways, and that they will get it, as we've been talking about. Thank You for that, Father. Thank You that we can pray in that name that is now, You've said it in Your word, Father, that is now the name that is above every name. He is our older brother, and He is there at Your right hand, Father, and He stands in for us. So we pray thanking You that we can pray just like Him as He sits next to You. And it is obviously in His name. Amen.